Well, good morning to each of you. It's a blessing to be here. Most of you I know, some of you are new to me, but it's good to be here and gather around God's Word. There's something here for us, and we want to hear what God has. The text is found in Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. It's in your bulletin. I'm going to read it. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." I'm especially thinking of verse 13. Somewhere deep within the DNA of every boy is a need to pick up a rock and throw it, right? We've probably all experienced that, and it's not only boys. Especially if you can make a splash in the water. It's an almost guarantee if you have the combination of a boy, a rock, and a body of water, we all know what's going to happen. And of course, as I said, it's not just boys that enjoy throwing rocks. How many of you ever have skipped a rock across the water? You remember how to do that? You lean over at the right angle, you get that rock in the curve of your fingers, and you throw it at just the right angle and speed and so on, and watch and see if you can get that rock to skip. Did you know that there's an organized stone skipping contest on the shores of Lake Huron in Michigan, hosted by the Mackinac Island Stone Skipping and Gerplunking Club? That sounds a little Dr. Seuss-ish, but it's a real event. Happens every 4th of July since 1969. Happened every year, just happened a few weeks ago. And so people from all over the world, believe it or not, come to this place for this contest and this event. Of course, they do other things other than throwing rocks, but that's one of the things that they do. And people that are interested enter this contest. Now, they just did a few weeks ago, and the little tiny bit that I researched, they had some trouble because it was windy and the waves were coming in and so on, so it wasn't as nice of an event as some years. But people from all over the world come there for this event, and if you were one of the contestants, you would be allowed 6 stones in this contest, and you have your moment of throwing your stones, and there's judges that carefully count each skip. Now, there's other parts of the contest, like the length and so on. But I'm thinking especially of skipping stones this morning. Competitors are cleverly known as skippers because that's what they're doing. Judges carefully counting every skip. And the winning stone skipper receives a trophy and 48 pounds of the famous Mackinac Island fudge. I don't know what you do with 48 pounds of fudge, but that's the prize. A man by the name of Kurt Steiner currently holds the world record for the most recorded skips. I'm not sure that it actually happened at this event, but it did happen, and it is officially counted as the world record. 88 skips. 88 skips. Try it sometime. You're going to struggle to get anywhere close to half of that, probably. Kurt is in the Stone Skipping Hall of Fame. He's an older man, about my age, from Western Pennsylvania. And he has been a serious stone skipper for many years, most of his life. He spends many days in a year searching for the perfect stone. He travels to different places searching for stones, boxing them up and shipping them. around the world to different events and demonstrations and so on. So what does skipping stones have to do with these verses? So hang in there with me. It'll make more sense in a minute. But thinking about skipping stones, if you're going to skip stones, there's several things that you need to get right if you're going to be good at skipping stones. One of them is that you need the right stone. The right size, the right shape, not any sharp edges or bumps that will bite into the water and slow the stone. It needs to be symmetrical, it needs to be balanced. I don't know if you've thought much about which stones would work best, but if you try, you'll notice that some stones do a lot better than others. Not too thick, not too thin, not too heavy, not too light. I remember David, the shepherd boy in Scripture, choosing five smooth stones for his sling when he met Goliath. And the Bible doesn't tell us, but I doubt very seriously that David was careless in picking those stones. He probably was very deliberate, very careful for the stones that he chose for the job at hand. He knew which stones would get the job done. So, choosing the right stone is important, is my point. Your grip on the stone is important so that you can get the right spin. It's the spin that keeps the stone stable as it skips across the water. Not too smooth or slick, but not too rough either. Your throwing arm strength is important so you can overcome the friction of the water as long as possible. The stone hitting the water at the right angle is important to begin the process of skipping across the water. Studies and high-speed cameras have shown that the stone hitting the water about at 20 degrees to the surface of the water is ideal. Reading the wind and the water surface is important. The throwing spot, or the first where the stone first hits the water, choosing that spot, that target, that's important. Your height above the water matters and changes where that point is, that target where you want to begin your skipping. Your footing matters. In order to get all the power behind the throw, you need solid footing. And of course, your throwing technique really matters. And then something that I hadn't thought of before, but if you're going to be a professional stone skipper, you must be able to get a lot of joy and satisfaction from simply watching it happen, skipping across the water, whether you're ever in a competition or not. Nobody continues to skip stones if they find it boring and just a dumb thing to do. You have to be fascinated by that process if you're going to keep doing it and to improve your technique. But think about it. Here's a stone, a heavy thing that probably has been on the bottom of this body of water for who knows how many years, for a few brief moments, stays on top of the water. The stone, a hard and heavy thing, skipping across a surface that is yielding and is liquid. If you're not fascinated by that, you'll probably never get good at skipping stones, simply because it's not important to you. It takes skill and strength and persistence to do well at skipping stones. Now, as you imagine, we're working up to an illustration here. And I love illustrations, although I tend to spend too much time developing an illustration and not enough time with the meat of the message. Illustrations are great, but they're limited. Even Jesus' parables were limited. We have to look at Jesus' parables in certain parameters to understand what Jesus is saying. Jesus is a master storyteller. Even his parables are limited. And certainly this illustration this morning of skipping stones is limited as well. So before we try to make sense of what I'm trying to say in this illustration, here's just another thing to think about and to add in this illustration. If you don't get a thrill out of skipping stones, you probably have tossed a stone in the water sometime in your life. It's something satisfying about that kerplunk as it goes into the water. And then, at least on a smooth pond, there's those fascinating ripples that go out from your kerplunk. And the ripples get wider and bigger and eventually go across the whole pond, even rebounding off the far bank and traveling over the pond again. I remember taking three stones and tossing them into the water pretty quickly in a certain way to make a big smiley face. And the smile got bigger and bigger and bigger. I still found that fascinating. Took a little imagination, of course, but it was fascinating. So here's the connection from the illustration of skipping stones and what I read in Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. Let's read it again. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I was thinking especially of the word exhort there in the first part of verse 13. Often I have thought of exhorting as being when we instruct someone or we confront someone with a need in their life. And exhorting can be exactly that. We all know that sometimes we need someone to exhort us in that way, to confront us with a blind spot maybe that I have in my life. But this word exhort can be more than that. Rather than having so much of a critical or negative attitude or connection to that word, it's a rather positive word. Exhort means to call to one side, to instruct, to entreat, to beg, to console, to encourage, to strengthen, to comfort. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So today, I'd like to think about the importance of encouraging one another. First part of verse 13. What does encouragement have to do with skipping stones or the ripples in a pond when you kerplunk a rock? Well, the illustration is simply this. If we could think of ourselves as skipping a stone across the water, a stone of encouragement, and the resulting ripples go on and on and on and on. Now, we, of course, could and we should encourage my brothers and sisters in unplanned ways and in random ways or words or actions. And I hope that our lives are lived in such a way that that happens naturally, that we are encouraging to others just by our way of living and our interaction with them. But what if I would realize that one of the big missions God has for you and I is to be an encourager of others, exhorting one another daily? This is encouragement on purpose. It's deliberate. It's regular. How often should we try to encourage someone else? Verse 13 tells us it is daily. And it means, that word means simply that, every day. So think about that. How do we do that? How can we do that? A kind word, the meeting of an eyes with someone, the interest taken in someone, the thoughtful deed, the pausing to pray for someone, the investing in a relationship, taking time for someone, meeting some need, going out of the way simply to encourage someone. And as the stone of encouragement skips across someone's life, it creates ripples that affects so many areas of life. And the ripples go places that the stone will never go. And can even indirectly affect others. One ripple inspires another, which inspires another. Message title, The Power of a Pebble. And the simple way of saying what that message is about is it's about encouragement. Now, of course, as we think about that title, we realize that the stone that caused the ripple in the pond didn't do it by itself, did it? If you would see a stone skipping across the water, we know that stone didn't launch itself. There was a skipper that was involved that sent it on its way. The power to skip across the pond or to encourage someone in their life, the power to do that well comes from the master. You and I are involved. We need to be willing, but the power comes from him. We need to be available for that. And just like the stone skipper who wants to improve his skipping, we can learn to do it better. That's just the simple way of saying it. We can learn to do it better. Now, we all could think of people who are really gifted in this area. I can't do it like they can in encouraging others. And maybe not, but we can learn to do it better. Now, anybody can take a big old rock and just heave it in the water. Anybody can do that. And there's drama. There's a big splash. The fish are scared away and everybody gets wet. But to skip a stone of encouragement well takes skill. It takes the willingness to learn, having the right stone, having the right angle. These are the things I went over a bit ago. Having the right footing, reading the wind in the water, the waves in the water, and being accurate, and all these things. We can learn to do it better. And it takes practice. We all know what a blessing it is to be encouraged by someone. And we need to pass that on to others as part of our calling. What a joy it is to watch somebody who's really good at this. And the ripples go on and on. We can learn from these people. And I can learn to do it better. At least, I can plunk in a small stone of encouragement and make a few ripples that blesses people. Not just once a month or once a week, but every day. So here's another way to think about this illustration. What if we would think about ourselves as being the stone the Lord skips across someone's life? Think about how long it took that stone to be shaped to the right shape so it's ready for skipping. There was a lot of time probably spent on the bottom of the river, rolling around the floods and being sanded and scraped the rough edges off. Sometimes the Lord does that in our lives, smooths off those sharp corners, those rough edges, because it won't skip. It won't encourage very well with that self that I tend to have in the way. Am I willing for the Lord to shape me into a stone that skips better and can be useful in the Master's hands? Sometimes the Lord picks us up from our comfortable little spot and he skips us across somebody's life. And we feel very much outside of our comfort zone, and it can be awkward and even scary. May we be willing to be plucked from the bank or from the bottom of the water and sent across somebody's life to do what we can to encourage them. Now, of course, encouraging others is not the only purpose that the Master has for you and I on earth. We know that. But this is the subject for us this morning. If we are not impacting others for good and encouraging others daily, then we have missed part of our calling, is what I'm trying to say. Here's a poem written by James Foley in 1911. And I found this, and I just thought it was, I usually don't read poems, but I just thought it fit very well. And here's what it says. Drop a pebble in the water, just a splash and it's gone. But there's a half a hundred ripples circling on and on and on. Spreading from the center, flowing on out to the sea. There's no way of telling where the end is going to be. Drop a pebble in the water, in a minute you forget. But there's little waves are flowing and there's ripples circling yet. And those little waves are flowing to a great big wave have grown. You've disturbed a mighty river just by dropping in a stone. Drop an unkind word or careless. In a minute you forget. But there's little waves are flowing and there's ripples circling yet. And perhaps in some sad heart a mighty wave of tears you've stirred and disturb a life that was happy ere you dropped that unkind word. Drop a word of cheer and kindness, just a splash and it's gone. There's half a hundred ripples circling on and on and on, bearing hope and joy and comfort on each splashing, dashing wave, so you would not believe the volume of the kind word that you gave. Drop a word of cheer and kindness, in a minute you forget, but there's still gladness, still a swelling, and there's joy a circling yet. And you rolled a wave of comfort whose sweet music can be heard over the miles and miles of water just by dropping one kind word. Power of a pebble. Think about that. So what is encouragement? Well, we know what encouragement is. We've experienced it. Encouragement is giving support, giving comfort, giving confidence or hope, is to inspire, is to fortify, is to cheer someone on. Literally, encouragement means to put courage into. Put courage into. What does the Bible have to say about encouragement? We're not going to turn to lots of scriptures, but I'll just read a few here. We already read from Hebrews chapter 3. We know that God encouraged Moses. That's as an example. Exodus 33:14. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Encouraging words to Moses. Later, two times, God specifically told Moses that he was to encourage Joshua. Deuteronomy 1:38, God said, Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there, being the promised land, he shall go in there, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And then in Deuteronomy 3:28, God told Moses again, but command Joshua, encourage him and strengthen him. So Moses did that in Deuteronomy 31. We see it recorded that Moses did that for Joshua. Another many examples in the Psalms of encouragement. One of them would be Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We need those kind of encouragement, encouraging words, don't we? We have the story of Jonathan encouraging David, who was hiding from King Saul. We have Jesus standing beside Paul after Paul had been mobbed by the Jews in Jerusalem and the Roman soldiers had rescued him. You remember that story. And Jesus stood beside Paul in the night, Acts 23:11. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so must also bear witness at Rome. Encouraging words. I suppose Paul needed those words in those moments. Paul wrote about encouragement. One example would be where he wrote to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also are doing. There's that same word again,
translated in this case, comfort. In Hebrews 13, 3 verse 13, we read it as being translated exhort, comfort, exhort. We have Jesus encouraging his disciples and all believers in John 14, for example, in other places. So skipping stones of encouragement across the lives of people, we see that all over Scripture, actually. And of course, we have the confrontations. We have the prophets giving some pretty stern warnings and so on. But there's also a lot of encouragement in God's Word. Encouragement is sort of like oxygen in the church. It keeps the heart beating. It keeps the minds focused and clear. It inspires the hands to serve. And we're not thinking about flattery or shallow words, but rather the kind of encouragement that is real and that makes a difference in the lives of people. That's Christian encouragement. And because encouragement is so important, God doesn't just recommend it or just suggest it, he commands it. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. There it is, the same word again that we read in Hebrews 3:13. I think back in some critical times in my life, and God sent someone to skip a stone of encouragement. They didn't know what was happening in my life, but it came at a right moment, and I suppose you've had times like that too, and those ripples make a difference. I remember last summer on the streets of Floyd in town, I met a former coworker of mine. It's been a number of years since I've seen him. I met him one day, and he skipped a stone that was needed, okay? I needed that day. And I met him here recently, and I thanked him because he had no idea what was going on in my life at that moment. He was just available. And because of our connection and past friendship, he skipped a stone that I will never forget. And I think of many other people who have been supportive and encouraging through the years, who have also skipped a stone of encouragement. I'm grateful for all those ripples, and I want to do the same for others. The Bible tells us to encourage one another every day. All of us need encouragement. God made us that way. Without encouragement, the hardships of life can start looking meaningless and overwhelming. We become hopeless and negative. We begin to focus on the hard things rather than the hope that we have and the stamina and the courage that it takes to get through these things. There's better things ahead. I think about the prophet Elijah there in the cave, so discouraged. 1 Kings 19. He felt exhausted and felt all alone. And God had to remind him that Noah was not all alone in believing in the Lord and serving the Lord. Elijah needed some encouragement, and so do you and I. Encouragement makes it easier to live a holy life. Encouragement makes it easier to love as Jesus loved. Encouragement helps us remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world. Encouragement lifts our eyes from the hardships of today. It reminds us of the hope in the future. Through encouragement, we're reminded of those blessings. Another verse, or two verses actually, in Hebrews chapter 10 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." There's our word again. "But exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching." Exhorting. Encouraging, so much more as you see the day approaching. consider one another, it says. And let us consider one another. What does that mean? Well, it has the idea of noticing, observing, understanding, perceiving, sensing, to discover about someone else. Consider one another. It doesn't mean, I don't think, to be nosy, but it just means to observe and to understand and to see what my brother, my sister is going through. This is a deliberate and thoughtful effort to care for one another, I think is the point. Paul, and we won't look at these, but Paul, many times in his letters, mentioned people's names specifically. And he wrote how those people, sometimes he wrote about how those people served the church or had encouraged him or supported him. It's important. Philippians 2:19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. Being encouraged and interacting with each other in this way is important. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Paul had sent Timothy to the Thessalonian church to, and here's where I read the verse, establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Paul knew how important encouragement is to the church. There's a man in Scripture that's known as, or he's called the son of encouragement, and that's Barnabas, Acts 4:36. Remember how after Paul's conversion, and Paul came to Jerusalem, and he tried to join the disciples, and everybody was scared of him. Who is this guy? Look, remember what he did not long ago. And Acts 9:26 says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he'd seen the Lord on the road. And you remember the rest of the story there. Barnabas stuck his neck out for Paul. A little later, when it was known to the church in Jerusalem that there were believers in Antioch, they sent Barnabas to them. And Acts 11:23, it says, and when he had came and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them that with all purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. There are many people added to the Lord. Barnabas must have been a gifted and a dedicated encourager. I find Acts 4:36 so interesting. It says this, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Did you notice in that verse, who named him Barnabas? Joseph, that was his real name, who was named Barnabas by the apostles. It was the apostles who named him the son of encouragement. I'd never noticed that before. Barnabas had a reputation for skipping stones. Now, if you understand my little illustration this morning, skipping stones is different than throwing stones, right? Just remember that. Barnabas's commitment to be an encourager was so strong, and it impacted people. And so much so that he was given that name by the apostles. He evidently was a strongly relational man. He believed in the potential of people, even when others seen a problem. We see that in the way that he believed in the newly converted Saul and later the questionable John Mark. He must have been a cheerleader for others, and he put that encouragement into action. Barnabas, we don't know much about him, but he encouraged and influenced two men who wrote over half the New Testament. That's not bad for a minor, obscure Bible character. If we can't do this, but if we could read the obituaries of Paul and Barnabas, what would we read there? Achievements of Paul, from a human perspective at least, far exceeded Barnabas's achievements. Paul was a planter of multiple churches and an author of scripture. He traveled the world, the known world, and outside of Jesus himself was the most prominent figure in the New Testament. But without Barnabas, would we even know Paul's name? But because Barnabas skipped the stone, we have the writings of Paul. Now, Jesus, God could have done it a different way, but God chose to use Barnabas as one of the key figures to bring Paul to the right spot where he could then serve. Plunk, a small stone, made a difference. Did the ripples of Barnabas make a difference? Yes, it did. And your little plunk can also make a difference. So if you're like me, sometimes I don't always get encouragement done, or I don't know how to. So let's think a bit of why don't we get it done. So let's think of a few negatives, and then we'll go to some positive. Why is encouragement hard to do sometimes? I don't know how you'd answer that question. But here's some thoughts that I have for my own life, and you can apply it to yours, but why I find it sometimes hard to encourage others. One of the reasons is because I don't think I know how. And I tend to think that I need some kind of golden nuggets of truth somehow before it's worth giving to someone. And that's not true. The Bible says even a glass of cold water given in love is appreciated and noticed by the Lord. And if I feel too awkward and too foolish to encourage someone with my little simple words of encouragement, maybe I just need to practice a little more so it's not as awkward. So that's one reason I tend not to encourage this, because I don't think I know how. Another reason is that I'm too busy and too preoccupied and maybe insensitive or impatient or even disinterested in my brother or my sister. May I learn to look beyond my own little world and be able to care for others. One of the reasons I tend to find it hard to encourage is because I can be a little bit stingy with the good things that I give to others. Luke 6:38 is something I need to remember. Give and it will be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you again, back to you. God has been so generous with you and I. I think we need to be generous with others and not be stingy. Another reason I don't get encouragement done is because I forget. I just simply forget that everybody needs encouragement. We have the amazing ability to forget, and sometimes we can even take good things for granted, our church, our families, and so on, and we forget to be an encouragement and forget to be thankful. Vacationers get tired of lakes and beach sand and cabins. Millionaires get tired of money. The famous get tired of the spotlight. Children get tired of toys, and adults get tired of hobbies. Uncommitted married people get bored with each other, with their marriage. And church members can get bored with their church and take the gift of brotherhood for granted. These are things that we grapple with at times. Let's be a brotherhood that deeply, deeply appreciates our church and to heavily invest in it. And encouragement is certainly a big part of that investment. Let's not forget. Another thing I tend to do is I tend to focus on the problems of people and neglect the encouragement that is needed. Now, of course, we need to discipline, and we need to confront when that's necessary. Of course we do. The Bible tells us about that. But could it be that a little encouragement, a little giving of some grace, a little patience, and somebody to believe in them might be all it would take for that person to change that problem thing in their life. This little sense of fairness in my carnal mind tends to think this way, that that person needs to earn my encouragement. And that's just not true. Because have I earned encouragement? I don't think so. Why is encouragement hard to do sometimes? Is because my carnal self actually can enjoy feeding on negative thoughts about others. And I can enjoy feeling superior because, after all, I am right and they are not. I think. And I need to be honest about that little carnal resentment that I may have towards someone. I find it difficult to encourage sometimes is because I don't see the result of my efforts. When you skip a stone, after the stone stops skipping, what happens to the stone? It settles back on the bottom, probably never to be seen again, in the mud. Nobody remembers the stone that caused the ripples. When I expect instant result from my efforts at encouragement, and if I don't see any, I can too quickly give up. I remember that Barnabas did not know how his encouragement would greatly impact Paul, which in turn would greatly impact the early church, which in turn would greatly impact you and I. The ripple goes on and on. May we be committed to making the little bit of a ripple that we can. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. I need to look beyond the effort of today and know that those ripples, God can use little things to do big things. And even if my efforts are forgotten, God will not forget. Inasmuch as you did it to the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. So don't give up, even if we don't see the instant results of our efforts. Sometimes I find it difficult to encourage is because we fail to develop a culture of encouragement. I'm not talking about flattery, warm and fuzzy. I'm talking about real Christian encouragement. May no one ever slip through the cracks in our churches, in our acquaintances, and that never experience the blessing and inspiration of Christian encouragement. Habitual criticism and negativity without a very large dose of positive encouragement to go along with confrontations and so on that may be needed, that will lead to discouragement and withdrawal. I challenge us all to develop a culture of encouragement among us. Another reason that I find it difficult sometimes to encourage is because I take for granted that others already know I love them and long for them to thrive. Well, Scripture tells us that we are to encourage daily. I need to actually say those things, words of encouragement, and not expect someone to read my mind. And of course, one of the reasons I don't encourage is because I'm really not watching for opportunities to do so. And if I believe if we ask God to give us those opportunities and commit to making the most of them, God will bring them our way. Now, maybe you can think of other reasons why giving encouragement is sometimes hard. But let's think about a few positive things. And one of the first ones is that anybody can be an encourager, from the smallest child to the oldest grandpa. Anybody can do that. In fact, I believe that God expects the believer, whoever he or she may be, to be an encourager. We all need to be on the Barnabas Committee in our churches. Will you join the Barnabas Committee? So what are ways that we can encourage? Well, there's words. Proverbs 16, verse 24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. And there's many ways we can skip words of encouragement. When's the last time you told a brother or sister, I love you, I'm praying for you, and then actually do it? I care about your situation. God bless you this week as you face whatever it is they're facing. Let's say it out loud. Plunk, and the ripples go on and on. We can encourage in writing. That's a way of encouragement we probably don't do as well as previous generations have done. We communicate in some other way other than spoken words with electronic communication and so on. And it tends to be more impersonal. And it's worth taking the time to be a little more personal in those kinds of interactions with people. Silence or no response can send an unintended message that I don't really care. So consider sending someone an encouraging note. Did you ever think about that the New Testament epistles are, in fact, encouraging notes to the churches? Now, of course, there's instruction, then even confrontation and hard words sometimes, but clearly the epistles were intended to be encouraging notes to the churches. Now, obviously, you and I are not going to write scripture as we send out an encouraging note to someone. But who knows what God can do with that skipping stone of encouragement in someone's life? Plunk, and the ripples go on and on. Just be there. A way of encouragement. Just be there. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Romans 12:13. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. Even if you don't know what to say, we can still communicate love and encouragement by just being there. Plunk, and the ripples go on and on. Touch the untouchable. And what I mean by that, I'm thinking about Jesus touching the lepers and the children and the blind and so on. Touching the lepers, or touching the untouchable, the downtrodden, the despised, the outcast, even the sinners. Do I know of anybody around me that is lonely or really don't have that many friends, doesn't socialize very well? It's the quiet ones that get ignored and forgotten, that awkward one that doesn't quite fit in, the one who is snubbed. Now, of course, we need to encourage our dear friends, close friends. But let's not forget that quiet one off in the corner, that awkward one, gets overlooked. And we need to encourage them as well. Plunk, and the ripples go on and on. A helping hand, such a way of encouragement. It's more blessed to give than to receive. There's many, many ways that we can help each other with practical things in life. What an encouragement that is. Plunk, and the ripples go on and on. Hospitality. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Hebrews 13, verse 2. It's a wonderful way to skip a stone of encouragement. Plunk, and the ripples go on and on. Prayer. Now, obviously, we're praying to God. We're not praying toward people, necessarily. We're praying as a way of encouragement. I still remember the first time this happened to me. We're in a large congregation, and everybody's talking, and, you know, it was after the service. No, it was before the service, and I was supposed to preach. That's what it was. And I just mentioned to this brother friend of mine, this is in another state, that I felt a need for something from God, you know, to be able to speak well. And he pulled me aside to, it wasn't a quiet place, but he prayed for me right there. 300 people around me. I never forgot that. It's a way to encourage. when you intercede for your brother, your sister, whether that's with them or if they can at least have the confidence that in your closet you meet with God about them. That's encouraging. Plunk, and the ripples go on and on. I must close. In this whole thing of skipping stones of encouragement, I so appreciate when I see it happening. That inspires me to do better in my own life. Let's keep it up. The Barnabas Committee still has room on it for more members. The pond is ready for your stone. Isaiah said it well, Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance and recompense of God. He will come and save you. The power of encouragement. Plunk, and the ripples go on and on. Think about that. God bless you. I'll turn the time back over to Malo.